If you like weird history, true crime, haunted and paranormal, then pause the podcast you're listening to right now and subscribe to Ghost Town wherever you listen to podcasts. We also have a video component to our favorite Ghost Town episodes at youtube.com/Jason Horton. Episodes like The Los Feliz Murder House, The Toxic Lady, The Black Dahlia, Janis Joplin's Hotel Room, The Haunted Roosevelt Hotel, and more. Just go to youtube.com/Jason Horton. That's youtube.com/JasonHorton. And while you're there, please subscribe so you don't miss any new episodes. Thank you.
This episode is brought to you by Visit Myrtle Beach. You know what's better than getting away to a beach? Getting together at the beach. Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. They've got over 2,000 restaurants, live music playing all day and night, and endless attractions. This place was made for playing hard and beaching easy. Welcome to 60 Miles Where You Belong. The beach. Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. Plan your trip at visitmyrtlebeach.com.
It's Friends Without Benefits.
It's the Friends Without Benefits podcast. My name is Jason Horton. Welcome to the show. Today, my guest is Stephen Safarowicz. It's even weird for me to say his last name in full. I know him as Stephen Saf because I've known him for so long. He's a comedian. He's grown up all over the world. And I realize those are things I didn't know about him. I have people that I think that I know, and I have him on the show, and I realize I don't know that much about you. You know, I usually just go right for the surface stuff. You know, what can you do for me in Hollywood? But there's more, I guess. And Stephen, he grew up his formidable years. I don't know what the formidable years are, or if I'm even saying that correctly. But he grew up in, Warsaw, Poland, and West Germany during the Berlin Wall, which is a very interesting time to grow up. And then he's, you know, comedian, in the Second City, IO Chicago, and then, out here in Los Angeles. And then he kind of pivoted a bunch of times, and now he's, like, really into cryptocurrency. And I think, I don't know, that might be my fault. So I find out more a little bit about Stephen. Is that a sentence? Don't know, but I think you know what I'm saying. I do hope you know what I'm saying. When I say 66% of men lose their hair by age 35, the thing is, when you start to notice hair loss, it's too late. It's easier to keep the hair you have than replace the hair you've lost. It's there, and then it's not there anymore. That's how it works. The solution? 4hims.com, a one-stop shop for hair loss, skincare, sexual wellness for men. Thanks to science, baldness can be optional. Hims connects you with real doctors and medical-grade solutions to treat hair loss. Well-known generic equivalents to name brand prescriptions to help keep your hair. Keep it. Hold on to it. No snake oil pills or gas station counter supplements, or you go on some workout site or message board and they're like, yeah, this thing is, no, they don't work. It's prescription solutions backed by science. No waiting room, no awkward doctor's visits. Save hours by going to 4hims.com. It's so easy. You answer a few quick questions and the doctor will review and prescribe you what you need. Products are shipped directly to your door. That's what we want, right? I don't want to sit in traffic. I don't want to park. I just want it brought to me. You can get a trial month of Hims for $5 today, right now, while supplies last. See website for full details. This would cost hundreds if you went to a doctor or pharmacy. Go to 4hims.com/friends. That's FORHIMS.com/friends. 4hims.com/friends. I run out of friends when I tell them I have a stand-up comedy show. I'm doing a show at the Comedy Store the 7th, July 7th. I don't know what time it is. Maybe 10:30. It's maybe a late one because I think it might be a Saturday. So that's going well. Got some shows booked. I went to VidCon, which is a pretty popular like video conference, like kind of based around YouTube and other stuff. So I went to that. I've gone every year. I went last year and I was like there for an hour and I was like, I don't want to be here. But I actually had a lot of fun this year. I showed up like with no credentials. And then I worked it out and I got credentials. Had a really good time, saw a lot of cool people, had some little meetings about people that I've been working with. A lot of them are like in China, so they're here. You know, a lot of apps are from China. You know, they make apps. So that was good. And then I got gifted some stuff. I got a pair of wireless Beats. I mean, I felt guilty spending $20 on like wireless headphones for the gym. And then these are the most expensive things I have. So it was cool. Did like a money booth thing, got an electric toothbrush. Super fun. Had a really good time. I'm glad I went. It kind of like, it's hard for me to leave the house. Honestly, I can be really reclusive for no good reason. And sometimes I just need to just get out there. I just make excuses. I think we all do, you know. I mean, I don't know. Maybe you're not. You're a party animal. Right now, you're listening to a podcast, so I don't know. I don't know where you're at. Maybe you're going somewhere cool and you're listening to this, so don't let me bum out your good time. Tell you what is a good time, something that's very easy for me. Now I have the option to wear contact lenses again. Yeah, now I have that option. I was just like, I can't deal with it. But Simple Contacts hooked me up. It's the most convenient way to renew your contact lens prescription and reorder your brand of contacts from anywhere in minutes. It's vision care for the 21st century. You want to renew your prescription? Great. Take a 5-minute vision test from your phone or computer. I did it. It is a 5-minute vision test. It's reviewed by a licensed doctor. You receive a renewed prescription and reorder your contacts. All you need is your current contacts, an internet connection, and 10 feet of space. I had to measure that, but I had it. If you have an unexpired prescription, just upload a photo or your doctor's information and order your lenses. They're convenient, right? That's the most important thing. You could do this. You can get this all hooked up in minutes. No doctor's offices or waiting rooms. See, I don't want to go and sit and try. I don't want to leave the house to do stuff like that. The vision test is self-guided and takes about 5 minutes. Think how much time you save compared to making an appointment, going to the eye doctor, taking time off. It's designed by doctors and licensed ophthalmologists. They review every test to make sure your eyes look healthy and your vision hasn't changed. Simple Contacts is all the brands and types of lenses you're familiar with, so you never have to shop around to find lenses at the best price. I have an astigmatism, so mine are kind of tricky, and Simple Contacts, they have them. It's summer. There's no shortage of reasons to have contacts on hand. Beach days, vacations, outdoor activities, weddings, maybe all in one day. I don't know. Use Simple Contacts to stock up for the season. The vision test is only $20. Compare that with an appointment. Without insurance, it's over $200. The contact lens prices are unbeatable. Standard shipping is free. Just so you know, it's very important. This isn't a replacement for your periodic full eye health exam. They only test the current prescription and make sure you're still seeing 20/20 and renew that prescription. They don't write a completely new one. They just kind of check your eye health and make sure your current one is up to par. Well, you can get $20 off your contacts, simplecontacts.com/friends20, or just put friends20 in the promo code. That's simplecontacts.com/friends20, or put friends20 in the promo code. All right, let's get into my conversation with my longtime friend I don't know anything about, Stephen Safarowicz.
You have a Superman shirt and like this green drink, but you still got here late. You figure with that, like you would have been, like you would have just been born into this studio.
I mean,
and you live really close.
I live so close, and there's ample parking.
Tons of parking, and you're usually really timely.
Maybe you know Superman. Hasn't. I can go back and like turn the Earth so that it goes back in time.
Are like podcast your kryptonite? I guess. Maybe.
I mean, yeah, this, yeah, it very well could
What's
be.
In that drink?
What do we got? We got kale, we got spinach, we've got...
I was going to say Sprite, and I was like, yeah.
It just goes downhill from there.
Yeah.
Yeah, we got gummy bears, yeah. We got Sour Patch Kids. But it does go down from there, because then it's like pineapple and anything that makes it taste good
right.
after that. So pineapple and like apples and bananas.
Okay.
Which are just sugar. As far as I'm not good at nutrition stuff.
So, like, I feel like we've known each other, what, probably going on 10 years.
10 years for
sure. Yeah.
Almost. Going on almost 10 years, maybe.
Yeah.
All right.
You know,
let's call it an even 10.
Let's go, yeah, let's round it up.
All right. Let's round it up.
And let's round our ages down.
Yeah, yeah.
How about that?
Oh, yeah.
Round that up, round that down. But I, you know what I feel like? If somebody asks me, he's like, hey, like, your past
yeah.
is a true enigma, and I think it's because I – have pieced together information. I don't know if any of it's correct. And I find that when I do a lot of these, I'm like, I had no idea like how you got here.
Does everyone have like really tragic pasts?
Not, it's which is always about? Really interesting where I'm like, what? And I would have never known that like at a party or, you know, just having a conversation. I feel like sometimes like when there's a microphone and billions of people are listening, it comes out. I'm gonna say what I think, and you tell me if I'm wrong.
Okay.
You were born in either, hold on, Germany or Massachusetts?
That is correct.
It can't be both. Don't say both.
Okay, all right, good.
It's not both.
That is correct, and I'm impressed.
Yeah.
It is Massachusetts.
It is Massachusetts. Yeah. But because my wife is, we're going to Berlin later this year, and she's been studying German, but you speak German.
Yeah, ich kann Deutsch sprechen, yeah.
Yeah. I do not sprechen the Deutsch. Okay, you know what I mean?
It's actually pretty good.
But you speak, what percentage out of 100 would you say is your fluency in German?
Okay, that's a good question. Just because I don't want to embarrass myself on air, let's go with 70%.
Okay, so you could, but you can get by big time.
But yeah, I think if I had immersed myself in Germany,
Live there for another 20 years.
20 years, I'd be
30
like
years.
72, 73%.
Percent, yeah. But did you live there?
Yeah, I lived there for 9 years.
And what ages?
From 4 to 14.
Okay.
And there was a Berlin Wall involved.
Yeah. Like, and you were on the...
Not that I'm not that old. I mean, but like...
Yeah.
But like, yeah.
There, yeah, yeah, yeah.
But a Berlin Wall... Like
pieces of a Berlin Wall.
Like, whatever. I mean, like, but yeah, that happened
what was
that time.
Were you conscious of there being a wall, or was that just something that was there and you...
I mean, no. First off, yes, you're conscious of there being a wall because you, when you learn where you are... You're in West Germany. Oh, I lived in West Germany.
And West Germany, that's the good. Depending on, well, you wanted to be in West Germany.
Yeah.
Was the
communism will rule the world one day.
Yeah.
That's the good. That's the good.
That's the good. That's the good.
You know what I always thought of it as? Which might not be, this might not be at all accurate, but I always thought of it as like East Germany was like all gray.
Yeah.
like in gray tones. There's just no color there.
And West was like a shinier gray.
Yeah, so it was a really German, like, you know, metallic and graphite. West Germany was just you're more free.
So what was it like for, you know, an American for you to be there? Were you just like, well, I guess at four you really, but when you were like, you know, 9, 10, 11, 12, were you conscious that you were, or were you... Where you're like, I'm here and I don't feel any different.
So I was still going to an international school.
Okay.
And so that meant that all my classes were in English. So most of my friends were English speaking. So that made me at least foreign, but I did have a lot of German friends. I had a lot of, you know, foreign friends, Japanese friends, Swedish friends, Indian friends.
You better list them all, because if you don't, that means you are a xenophobe.
I am so sorry for all the offense that I've sent
all
to all my Chinese friends.
Yeah.
it's 42 countries. There are 42 countries.
Yeah.
Which is a lot. But actual German friends, and definitely conversing in German, and definitely...
Did you have any longing or kind of wanting to go back to America, or things that were American?
Yeah. Oh, man. Oh, man. Yeah. Okay. Can I describe patriotism growing up in whatever decade that was? It was the 80s. It was the 80s and 90s.
Yeah.
Growing up for an American abroad, being patriotic is a pride. I love America.
Yeah.
It's the 80s. It's the 80s. We're talking wrestling. We're talking, you know, all
Rocky IV, Red Dawn, Ronald Reagan. I was indoctrinated into like loving America too.
Yeah.
So I get it.
Yeah,
yeah,
right?
I loved America.
Eagles, those flags, all of that. You know, yeah. I'm about all of those things. Yeah. Those are great. And then just somehow that became warped. To get like all political,
right? Yeah,
but So growing up, I was like, yeah, you know, yes, I'm from where I was about to say where Arnold Schwarzenegger's from. I'm not. I'm not where,
yeah,
where all these Americans that are not American. But that culture for sure. That was was looked up to. It was, I don't want to say coveted.
I mean,
it was cool. It was cool to be American.
Sure.
Blue jeans.
Yeah. American
caps.
Bands. You
American
know what
bands.
I mean? Popular. Yeah.
Yeah. So that was, I felt a sense of coolness.
How far did you live from the Berlin Wall?
Many kilometers, many miles. But on the other side of West Germany. I was in Düsseldorf, Germany, which is really close to the...
Is there an airport there?
Oh, yeah, Düsseldorf, Germany.
Then I've flown into that airport.
Yeah.
Okay.
At the time, I used to say that it was the second biggest airport in Germany. That fact might be completely false, but like goes Munich, Berlin probably now, and like Düsseldorf. But
So when you, what was the impetus of you leaving Germany?
That my dad got a job. So both my parents.
It wasn't
teachers.
The improv scene.
So I was like,
I gotta do that American improv.
I learned every single German joke there was.
Yeah.
The leaving was my dad got a job in the American school out in Warsaw. So then we went to Warsaw, Poland.
Okay. I've been there. I've been to Warsaw, yeah. I traveled through for a while, and I remember like the girls are so there's attractive girls everywhere, you know what I mean? But for some reason in Poland I was like, "Whoa. Really? They are all hot and tall and hotter."
Yeah.
And taller.
Yeah.
And I got shorter and fatter just being there. So how long did you live there?
I lived there for 5 years. And formidable ones, too.
Yeah.
You know, like high school. I lived there for high school.
So you went to high school in Poland. Was it an integrated school again?
We had black people. We had white people. Everything.
Yeah.
It was an integrated. A lot of cultures, yeah. In fact, maybe that 42 statistic probably was from there.
Right.
But we're talking, you know, what high 30s, whatever. Doesn't matter. You know, just a bunch of countries.
And so what was the culture like there? I'm sure it changed because you got older and you were conscious of different things. Like, what was the deal?
Yeah. I mean, that's for sure. There was a divide between right after communism had fallen. Mm-hmm. So, you know, that whole Russia was kind of breaking apart. Not that Poland was part, but it was under that, you know, Warsaw Pact and protection of USSR, so to speak. That was all kind of coming apart, and democracy and capitalism was kind of flowing in. The good kind of capitalism. You know, McDonald's.
You mean trickle down economics? That good kind, right? That worked out really well.
The stuff that works really good for this American kid to get stuff. That was all just changing.
So you didn't mind leaving where you weren't like,
oh, I did. Okay. Oh, boy, I did. Oh, yeah. So in my head, going from Germany, one of the cleanest, most beautiful places on earth, and then going to like essentially like third world.
Yeah. Poland. I was in Warsaw in the late 90s. And I remember it being like amazing and beautiful, but also a little bit rough.
Yeah. It was scary.
Yeah.
Yeah. There were some scarier parts of Warsaw.
Yeah.
I lived in what we call the American ghetto, which was just a series of apartment buildings closer to our school where all of the teachers lived.
What did your dad teach?
My dad taught high school math, but when we moved to Warsaw, he became the high school principal.
Was he your principal?
Yeah.
Yeah. So did that help or hurt?
It didn't help. It certainly didn't help. But it was a small enough school where now looking back
One person didn't shove you. He's like, what are you going to do? Tell your dad.
No. I've got an older sister. And
are you guys close?
Yeah. And it's definitely.
You brought her up. I'm just curious.
Yeah. We're close. We're just not physically close. She lives in New York, and I live in LA, of course. Yeah. And, but she smoked, right? And of course, smoking. That's, you know.
It's cool.
Yeah,
is cool.
It's cool.
But it's cool.
It's
the Fonz
so cool.
taught me, and he didn't smoke either, but I was like, that's cool. Leather jackets, leaning up on stuff, cigarettes. It's cool.
It's super cool. So she smoked, and that meant that she would, like, smoke with the cool kids.
Oh, yeah.
And they would take a break, you know, whenever you get that 15 minutes or I don't know. Do people skip classes? I didn't skip classes.
Yeah, I did.
You skipped classes?
Yeah. But my senior year of high school, a lot.
What do you mean? You just didn't go?
Yeah.
So when the teacher was like, hey, where were you in history class?
The school was like a little side thing. The school I went to was the city that the school was in has been frequently in the top 10 most crime-ridden cities in the United States per like square mile or capita per size or whatever. Yeah. Like the SWAT team has come to that school and like rappelled on the roof.
Wow.
You know what I mean? But a principal came kind of like, if you remember the movie Lean on Me, Crazy Joe Clark or whatever, which I saw that movie in the town in New Jersey where they filmed it.
Wow.
So like two Jews and the rest were black people from the school, and they're like, there's my locker. And I was like, should we be here? Not because whatever, but it's just kind of like, I feel like we're like the only two white guys, which is when you're a kid, it's like, but a principal came in and like cleaned up the school. Like, it was just bouncing people out. But I did pretty well like in high school, despite the fact that I dropped out of college so many times, that I just so happened to like get by on very little to graduate.
Well, probably because you were of superior intelligence.
That's what I mean. There's a lot of dropout. You know what I mean? There's a lot of dropout. The school was pretty much like, I would say, half black and half white, so to speak, you know? So there was just there was a lot of strife and me mostly with other white kids because I was like into punk rock. So like, you know, like the black kids, they didn't care. You know what I mean? They were like, I don't care about this dude. But the white kids had like, you know, there was that kind of like strife in there. But that's separate. So your sister, did she skip?
So
she would cut.
She would just cut classes. Mm. She was also incredibly intelligent, so she's doing fine in school,
right,
in classes and whatnot. But yeah, still she was cool enough to cut. So or to go smoke, which really I felt that was like a real divide between like, oh, this is the principal's kid that smokes.
Yeah.
She's super cool. And then there's that kid that's, I guess he's always in class, that never skips class.
Yeah. What were you into back then? Like, what did you like to do?
Oh, man. I mean, I'm definitely nerdy. But I was in – that was a smaller school. So the American School of Warsaw at that time, sheesh, where were we at? I don't know. I'm going to state wrong figures. But let's say 300 kids in high school.
Yeah.
So pretty small. Definitely our class – I'm going to keep naming 42, but like 42 kids in our class, in our graduating class. Smaller class. Which meant, yeah, I was on the basketball team. I was on the track team. I was in drama. I was in, I don't know, MUN.
Model Union?
Model United Nations.
Yeah, okay. I listen.
Model Union. A lot of, you know, workers.
You're just reminding people that you were a white guy, right?
Yeah, I was, you know. Like, just
don't
kept,
forget.
I was in a committee called the Happy Committee. That was me and one other guy because at the time I thought it was funny and then you get to be in a
Now pusher. That's like a rave, like it's like EDM like thing,
it's
right?
Definitely like
Happy Committee?
We need to search these people for drugs.
Yeah.
Yeah. Speaking of drugs, our school.
We weren't speaking of drugs, but go on.
Can we speak about drugs?
Sure.
Okay, so drugs are legal in Poland at the time. Yeah. Drugs, not really, really hard drugs, but marijuana was legal.
Yeah.
And
did you toke it out?
No, No, I was super, super nerdy. I still am, actually. I guess I've never done any. Well, now pot's legal, but any substances like that. Anyway, at one time we found out that there was a whole bunch of pot that was just growing on the grounds of our school and just like a weed.
Yeah. And like a pot weed.
Like a pot weed, like those pot weeds.
They never made that connection with the name, though.
No. Yeah, so then one day they just had to cut it all down, but it was like a good field of it, just removed from our school. Our whole school was
Let me ask you, this is a little bit personal.
Please.
Did you? So you lost your virginity in Poland, or?
Oh, it would have been college for sure, so it was not in Poland.
It was in the United States?
It was in the United States.
Oh,
right?
Shut this off. Shut
I know.
This episode
All those
off.
Really hot Polish girls that you were talking about.
Shut this episode
And they were everywhere. And they were just like, you're American? What? And I was like, I don't know what you're talking about.
But did you have a date, kiss, second base? I don't know what it is over there. Did
it just
any of
goes
that
right to second base.
Yeah.
They don't even have bases. It's just a bunch of like cricket things.
Yeah.
They don't play cricket. I have no idea. Soccer?
I mean, was there any like did you have any interest in like what was that kind of – because you're at an age where like you probably were
– Okay. So I had – how's this? I had a two-week stint with my girlfriend. I had a girlfriend in high school.
Okay, cool. That's
for right. 2 weeks. Yeah, I was okay. Is
yeah,
that,
that's okay.
Was that,
That'll
was
pass.
That pass? Yeah.
Keep listening.
Okay, no, you definitely should. You should shut this off now because nothing happened. Nothing happened during those 2 weeks. Zero happened. I think she even asked, like flat out asked, hey, we should kiss now. And I was like,
I'm only 26.
I can't do this. I got to get to class.
Yeah. You're like, you've graduated 10 years ago. You're like, it doesn't matter.
Did I? I don't remember anything. Yeah. Yeah. So I failed that. I think I was so nervous.
I mean, listen, I had my first drink and the first time I tried any kind of drug, which is I was 33. So I'm not one to
That's
like.
That's really late.
Yeah.
I was is like, that straight true or is that a joke?
It's true. Yeah, I was straight edge. Like, I was part of that straight edge hardcore. You know what I mean?
Okay. Well, so, but then there's still like an ambiance of like coolness with not drinking.
Yes.
Right?
Sort of, yeah. But I wasn't, it just didn't make it, I wasn't like, you know, combating anything. It just happened to fit whatever. And then there was like a thing around it. And that was like kind of like my music, going to shows.
Yeah.
And it was kind of like the thing that I really gravitated to. But as far as I lost my virginity at 16, but after that, it wasn't like I was just in a series of long relationships. So it wasn't like I was, you know, it took me till I was probably like in my like late 20s and 30s before I started like really kind of like, you know, being like single guy.
This, oh, like an actual, like getting into the dating scene.
Like hardcore, yeah, in LA.
Like hardcore?
Well, I mean, like what people probably normally did way back, like I was like a little late to the game.
Yeah.
But I wanted to lose my virginity, you know, 16 I thought was like a pretty decent age.
Oh, what happened?
It was
girlfriend at the time or what?
I mean, she went on to be Jennifer Lawrence. So.
Oh yeah.
So you tell me what happened. That would be a bad age, like, because I'm sure I'm like a lot older, so that'd be a weird age thing. To be 16 and her or whatever. So it's not. Don't listen to that. That's not.
It
funny.
Was the Queen of England.
Yeah, it's not funny. Yeah. She was hot though.
Yeah.
No, so I get what you're saying. Okay, so when you had to leave for the United States, mm-hmm. let's get you to the U.S.
Okay,
let's get you out of there.
All right, fair enough. There's a lot more.
Yeah, right. I'm sure there is.
There's horses plowing the fields outside my school in Warsaw. This is the strange time.
We'll do a whole separate episode of the horses plowing the thing.
Sure.
I got to get you to the U.S.
Time. Yeah,
because right. a lot to cover.
Okay.
Were you bummed that you had to leave Poland?
No, because you're graduating high school, so you know changes are happening anyway.
And what was? Did you have a plan before you got to the U.S. or when you got to the U.S. you started planning?
Planning
college
what?
Or whatever.
Oh, yeah. No. Just like, I'm sorry. Regular people go attend classes and then they plan to go to college after high school.
Yeah.
So we all had, it was a really good high school. We had just great teachers, great.
So you curriculum. Felt like maybe you may have had a leg up when you hit the college scene?
Everyone was going to college. There were maybe, of those 42 people that graduated with, I think two that were not initially going to college and later I bet they have gone to college.
Did that help you getting into like you know colleges in the U.S. where they like oh you just came from
100% yeah all of those things all those extracurricular activities
happy committee
was huge. I mean everyone just Harvard's like just tearing
you were
seams.
Part of the committee not that improv based thing the happy committee
yeah that all of that was
with you and Sigmund or whatever.
I mean I'm one of the co-founders of the first campus chapter for Habitat for Humanity in Europe.
Oh.
That's Europe with a P.
P, yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, stuff like that. You know, you just kind of just pad your resume and
– So where'd you go to college?
So I went to Tufts University, which is – it's in Boston.
Did your family move to that area or did you just happen to go to college there?
No. So my parents, they moved to Caracas, Venezuela after that. So they moved from Poland as well. So it was everyone.
What was their – were they just people that did not – like that liked to move every couple of years or didn't like to teach abroad or is that – what's their jam?
They're on – it's jelly. No, it's marmalade.
Yeah. What is their jam?
It's a beautiful world out there. I don't know. It's tough to answer. It's – okay, how's this? Even though I went to those two very distinct schools – in Germany and Poland, and I never went to high school or school in Caracas, Venezuela, and I definitely didn't go to school in, let's say, Tokyo, Japan. All of those schools are quite similar.
Yeah.
So those experiences for international kids, I've met kids that grew up in Australia, and they heritage-wise, they're from Korea.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I have more in common with you than I do, you know, people around me because we kind of grew up in that same sort of international school system.
Kind of like being like, you know, they say an army brat. Like,
yes.
It's a similar kind of.
Very similar. Yeah. Very, very similar. However, we have no affiliation with any certain, you know, again, 42 countries.
Okay, so you go to Tufts, and what do you study?
And I studied international relations. Go figure, right?
Yeah.
I wanted to be I was surrounded by a bunch of diplomats and a bunch of ambassadors growing up.
This episode is brought to you by Visit Myrtle Beach. You know what's better than getting away to a beach? Getting together at the beach. Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. They've got over 2,000 restaurants, live music playing all day and night, and endless attractions. This place was made for playing hard and beaching easy. Welcome to 60 Miles Where You Belong. The beach. Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. Plan your trip at visitmyrtlebeach.com.
Your brain needs support, and new Ollie Brainy Chews are a delightful way to take care of your cognitive health. Made with scientifically backed ingredients like Thai ginger, L-theanine, and caffeine, Brainy Chews support healthy brain function and help you find your focus, stay chill, or get energized. Be kind to your mind and get these nootropic chews at Olly.com. That's Olly.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Dear Colgate, I love that you love that I love being at home. You even let me whiten my teeth from home. Because you know how I feel about getting up from my cloud couch. The Colgate Optic White LED Kit gives professional level results in just 10 minutes a day for 10 days when used as directed. And that's why, Colgate, I want you to meet my parents. Because ever since meeting you, I've been living life to the brightest. Colgate Optic White. Find it at all major retailers.
Being an ambassador is awesome. You're representing your
diplomatic community. That's all I learned from TV and movies.
All it is just shooting people in parking lots.
Yeah, and you get a diplomatic
and then
community.
Saying diplomatic community.
Yeah. So you're in college. Did you have the acting bug there?
Yeah. Well, and then I had already been doing high school plays.
Okay.
So I'd been doing a lot of that, and even high school singing, even though I had no business doing that. But yeah, so I'd already been into drama and theaters,
right,
and performing but all of that I pursued that in college as well, not as a major,
right.
But
you got some training,
definitely, yeah.
And then so you're in college, and then what do you go from there to? I don't know. You go in from there to Chicago.
Yeah,
am I right about
that? Yeah, after college, I go right to Chicago. Yeah.
For what reason?
Oh, for a girl, for sure.
Okay.
I moved there for a girl. Yeah.
I mean, before it was just like, I can't kiss. Now you're like, I'll move.
I won't go anywhere, yeah.
Because this is going to work out.
Yeah, everything's going to work out.
Yeah.
No, I was so young back then. I was making so many, some of those good first relationship mistakes.
Yeah.
Where, I don't know,
did you meet her in college?
I met her in college. I couldn't communicate. I need my independence. All of that was always just fights, which... It's just really poor communication on my part.
Sure, yeah.
Where, of course, everyone needs space, right? But yeah, I moved there for her, and I couldn't have been happier. Chicago was incredible. Yeah.
So even though how long did it last with her when you?
2.5 years.
Okay, so.
Yeah, a good amount of
time. But you happened to land in a place that was, a great city.
Oh my gosh, yeah.
And then from there, let me see, did you find Second City?
And then it was.
Or IO Chicago.
Yeah, so it was even Improv Olympic at that time.
Okay.
So yeah, IO Chicago.
And you found first. That, which is like it's the only one that's there now.
Yeah.
But Second City, you could say Second City is but then IO Chicago would be right there with it.
So I had some friends that did Second City first, and I had some friends that, of course, did IO first, because like me, and we were a little different, but pretty dang similar.
I mean, all white, so that's all that matters.
We were
right?
All white. We were all tall, skinny men.
White, yes,
but so different from each other.
So I just couldn't
different
be,
T-shirts.
It was like a Benetton ad, but just white, a plain white T-shirt that has a Benetton logo on it.
Some of us had Lee jeans. Some of us had Levi's. Just different L
diversity.
Just diverse. It's super diverse. 42 different type of white tall men.
And at the you didn't know about improv. Really, until you got there, though, right?
Correct.
So when you got immersed in that, it was probably, I'm assuming, pretty bumping and you can really immerse yourself in it, I guess, in a big way.
Yeah. A lot of it was to get over social awkwardness. I didn't drink at that time, and I thought that was pretty substantial because I was already 25.
Yeah.
And, I just turned 25. And, it was a lot of that.
Did you have a job?
I had a job.
Doing
worked downtown doing accounting for an insurance company already.
Okay.
Yeah. May have been right before that, but yeah.
So you had that like kind of mind-numbing kind of thing.
we had in our first couple of classes you start making your best friends. And still am best friends with some of those.
Did you see I listened to a lot of interviews of people that obviously big time celebrities, but they came through the improv, whether it's UCB or IO or Second City. Was there anybody in your that was performing there at the time that went on to be big time or, whatever that is?
Yeah. Vanessa
Bayer
is probably the biggest name of contemporaries.
Yeah.
Lauren Lapkus.
Yeah.
Thomas Middleditch.
Yeah.
These are all contemporaries that
that were there doing the thing.
I mean, yeah, that I've shared the stage with each of them.
During the time you were there?
During the time that I was there.
So yeah. Were you watching them perform? Were you in classes with them? Were you...
Some of them, I just... They may have been a class above or beneath, depending right. on which school it is.
Right.
So it's funny because you just... They're all just jostled. So oh, yeah, there's someone... performing in the jam that might be
sure.
You know, two classes below or two classes above.
And you saw them and you're just like, you're never going to make it.
I was like, oh, I mean, come on.
Yeah,
I know everything.
Yeah,
so yeah,
yeah, yeah.
I'm a tall white man. That's horrible. Yeah, no. We were all trying to figure it out. We were all so young. But yeah, I mean, I can anecdotally say that they're all excellent performers.
Yeah.
They were excellent performers way back then.
Yeah.
You could just tell sometimes when you watch people on stage, you're like, oh, that person's.
At what point are you like, okay, LA's the next obvious move?
Yes.
I'm good. I'm good at this.
I've conquered
this.
Chicago.
Yeah, moving on. Yeah.
No, at a certain point it becomes, I really did. I did them all. I did everything in Chicago. I did Second City.
Annoyance.
I did Annoyance. Yeah. I did Comedy Sports, not the whole program, yeah. but at that point I had already done the whole program for all these other theaters, so I kind of got to skip a lot of levels and just go right to, you know, like level 5 or something like that. And yeah, so I had done all the schools and it had already been, wow, it sounds like a short amount of time now, but at that time it's felt extremely long, but like it had already been 7 years.
Yeah, but those 7 years are pretty packed. I mean, I remember, you know, you could spend up to 30 hours a week doing improv between watching shows or interning or whatever. I was doing practice groups, classes, whatever. Yeah. You can really
– yeah.
It's a deep 7 years, I'm sure.
Yeah, for sure.
So
yeah.
What is the thing that you're just like, oh, I need to go to L.A.?
So that was – the impetus was, all right, I've finished all the schooling that I can here.
Right.
And really, I mean, I'm sure this has been said many times, but really you're vying for positions for that main stage or EDC
yeah.
stage at Second City, which I wasn't even in the realm. I auditioned twice, I think, which I think obviously now looking back, maybe if I had continued
sure.
saying, hey, look at, I'm eager, I'm here, I'm ready.
And desperate.
I'm desperate. I will wear, you know, any type of jeans you want.
Yeah.
Eventually maybe something could have happened there. But even my friends and contemporaries, they were making it in those on those levels. And as they should, they were excellent. And so there's an idea that, oh, there's a lot more opportunity out in L.A.,
So you come to LA,
mm-hmm.
And so what's like the when you hit the ground running? Like, what's the first thing you do when you get here?
Immediately becomes friends with you,
right? What,
that's the first thing that I
do. I'm just meeting people right off the bus,
yeah,
or at the airport.
Yeah,
did you jump right into improv and
jumped right into it?
Yeah.
I think that was the first round of auditions at IO LA.
Yeah.
Was 2 months, 1 month after getting here,
yeah.
which is a really long time.
Yeah, yeah.
You're like, oh man, that's like 4 weeks from now.
Yeah,
LA, I've got this figured out. Yeah. Thanks, guys. But
did you start working, or did you have money saved? Or?
I was working the same job that I had in okay. Chicago, which is pretty substantial for me. Like that's great. Same sort of thing. They just
relocated you essentially.
Yeah.
That's nice.
Yeah, it was worked out ideally.
Yeah.
If an office job is
sure,
my...
I mean, it's the trade-off of your time and energy towards
yeah.
the other, you know, but you have to survive.
Yeah, and you know, I won't badmouth it. It was great. It was a great experience. It meant getting up in the morning, going downtown, taking the red line to you know, an office job, coming home, and then being able to separate those two lives.
So you spent, when we met doing improv, and we've been doing kind of. Not as much improv lately, but we've been kind of doing it ever since.
Yeah, 100%. And you were on my first team. Yeah. Have you talked about fraternity before?
No one's ever cared or asked, nor has it been relevant.
Or does it matter?
Yeah, I think that was my second one.
That was your second
team?
That
was my second team, I think. I was on a lot, you know what I mean? I was on a lot. But I think that might have been my second team. But, you know, since then we've, you know... worked on video projects, you know, hung out, and, you know, you're one of those few people. Like, it's like I still know a lot of people, but you're the one, like, one of the very few people that, you know, I could still say, hey, do you want to do something, or do you just want to just sit and talk about stuff that's here in L.A.? You know what I mean? There are, like, you know, a lot of people, but it's the familiarity, I don't know, for some reason. But that's why I was like, I wanted to know a little bit more kind of like how you kind of got here. Now, I want to pivot kind of again a little bit. And I don't want to get too deep into this. Well, you know, what's interesting is that you talked about dating stuff like that. You are like a pretty professional dater in Los Angeles.
Yeah.
I mean, you're good.
Yeah.
I mean, you are like, because I remember when I was getting into online dating, like I went to you, to the master. And I was like, how do you do this? Because I'm like, I'm old and I don't know what to do
or
what to say. And I mean, I was probably like in my 30s, mid 30s.
Yeah.
When I was like trying this out.
Yeah.
But you were like a pretty, and then, you know, you also like, despite kind of looking, how you're describing yourself, you know, you really down to like, I mean, you have stories about like having a good time or a weird time. There was this, and then there was a story about some dudes in a kimono, and then I remember you telling these weird stories. You got out of this car, and then you're here, and then you were in this. You just have a lot of stories from, I think, just like I met these girls. You'd be like, yeah, I met these girls at this thing, and then we're in Palm Springs, and I don't know what happened. Those are the kind of things that you do because you're so kind of willing to be like, and I think maybe it explains that you have this kind of, you know, this kind of spirit of like, see this, experience this, you know, try this out, and it makes a lot of sense.
I'm a yes and type person. Like this improv thing spills into my actual life so much. And even though we've already talked about, I am in a Superman T-shirt right now, but I dress pretty preppy, like and
This is pretty. This is for you. Is like, I mean, you're like, this is as dressed down as I think you get.
Yeah,
and I think you iron that T-shirt.
Oh, gotta get those creases in it.
Yeah, yeah.
But regardless of how I dress, I pride myself in. Let's go to the craziest punk spots.
Right.
Let's go to these warehouses downtown.
Yeah.
Let's immerse myself.
And I'm like, no, not interested. No, thank you. Is it past 9 p.m.? No, thank you.
But I will yes and any of those.
Right.
And this is all it is regret from not going and smoking behind that kiosk back in high school.
Yeah.
Whatever that adventure was, whatever those cool people were cool kids were doing, I still have regrets of not doing it back then.
You say you're a little bit of a late bloomer?
So yeah, late blooming,
I know that,
all of those things. Yeah,
I'm definitely have a bit of that.
It will come, Jason, I think.
I'll wait till I'm 67. now I want to kind of because you had a job that you were at for a very long time.
Yeah.
Remember we talked about it. I knew, you know what I mean.
Yeah.
And then you were like, I'm done.
Yeah.
I'm literally gonna where it's tough to get employment that you want.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? The in this economy.
Yeah.
You know that thing?
Oh,
like,
yeah.
In this economy.
Oh, yeah.
And you're just like literally just we're like, I'm done.
Yeah. Yeah.
And walked away from that.
Yeah.
And but then you also have an interest / obsession with cryptocurrency.
I will talk at length about it. Yeah.
Well, we can't talk about it at length.
Okay. Yeah.
But
nobody
we can talk about
it.
Well, no. But I guess I just want to kind of get to the thing is like how you can go from being like I was. It's like I was in Germany. Now I am in Warsaw. Now I am at Tufts.
Yeah.
Now I am in Chicago. Yeah. Now I'm at this job. Now I'm like in this world of cryptocurrency.
Yeah.
And like, how is that for you now? Like, what's your kind of day to day with cryptocurrency?
Oh, every single day I'll be watching charts.
Right.
Every single day.
Because my dad's, you know, because you were a stock market guy as well.
Yeah. Yeah. I'll talk about that too.
You're a stock market guy. My dad's a stock market guy. So he's just literally all, you know, early in the morning checking the Dow or whatever.
Yeah.
So you're constantly, your day is either good or bad depending.
Oh, my day is always going to be bad.
Bad, right.
It's always
just a little
bad.
Less bad.
Yeah.
I mean, you just sit there and like as we're talking right now, as we're sitting here speaking right now, what would you say is the climate, and what would you say is because I've invested in some cryptocurrency myself.
Yeah, you got me started.
Yeah, and I'm sorry. I don't know if I'm sorry.
No.
Yeah, I guess it'll depend. We'll see.
Either
I'll be like, wow, that was a really great thing, or like I ruined his life, but I got excited. It's a very exciting thing.
It's so exciting. Immediately,
but
I was
Steve Green, he got the one. He was at his wedding, and he was just like got us all like a cult, got us all hooked, and. he still loves it. So I'm just wondering, like, what right now, what's it like for you? Because there's a lot of coverage recently, semi-recently, about, you know, Bitcoin, how much it's going up, and Bitcoin was in the humor and stuff like that. What is it like now? Like, what would you, how would you describe it according to you?
Well, it's not doing well. Nothing's going well right now. But I have absolute faith that everything's going to, the ship is going to be righted. Everything's going to be fine. My whole thing is
the money that's in there right now, it's not like something where you're like, it's there and that's just where it is. You're not like looking to grab from it or anything like that. It'll sit there.
Yeah.
How do you know? I mean, this, I guess, is the question. Like, how do you know when enough is enough? When it's right.
Well, it's not even, it's just in there for the long haul.
Yeah.
We're talking like decades. I want to have this conversation in like, not even just like a couple months and be like, see, I told you, no, none of this, see, I told you so. We're talking like 10 years from now, I'm fascinated to know what it is. And I will be extremely, I won't be surprised if I have completely lost all my money or really surprised if like, oh, this thing will take off.
Yeah.
You know, those are kind of the two outcomes that I'm not, I wouldn't be surprised by either of those.
So what do you like, because, you know, you have like a pretty like long history with entertainment, right? So you have that. Cryptocurrency, you're an entrepreneur. I don't want to get into your entrepreneurial stuff because for whatever reason, I just don't want to get into that too much.
Sure.
It's all legal, but I just don't want to get into it here in case they're listening.
Yeah.
Because the IRS is listening. I wish they were listening. If somebody from the IRS was like just generally like, I just want to be entertained. Yeah. The IRS, I'm just pushing papers all day. It's really hard and like nobody likes me. I'm just going to listen to a chill podcast. Just hear this dude talk to other people. I'd be happy if they were listening. So all are welcome here. But like, what do you, because you're also a very in the moment guy too.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Tomorrow you'd be doing this. The next week you'd be doing that.
Yeah, the planning's not. It's not that great.
Right.
Yeah.
But you have a mind to be kind of cover your bases, to make sure your bases are covered, sort of.
Yeah. But like you said, like, they're, you know, I'm always ready for that next chapter too. You know, if something is not oh boy, that sounds more like a cut and run type situation. But there are certain things that I like to describe them as chapters. You know, the same sort of thing that would happen when I moved from Chicago to L.A. Chicago's amazing. I have had.
Do you think L.A. is your like kind of last destination, or
No, absolutely not. I'm too young for that. There's got to be. There's way more. Not to say that I won't still come back to L.A., but there's got to be more to see. What is living in Singapore like? Do we know?
I just did stand up with the comedian from Singapore. I think he has a Netflix special, like opened for him, I guess, or whatever. He didn't really mention it too much, so I don't know. That was my only connection to Singapore recently. He's very funny, though. His name kind of escapes me. But
well, what if you were the American comedian over in Singapore?
Yeah, well, I'm going to try. When I go, I was going to do stand up, but I was just starting stand up. I was going to do it in London, but I actually might try it. I'm going to Copenhagen and Berlin and Prague. If they're willing to let me, I'll just do it just to say that I did it. I don't know.
Jason.
I barely should be doing it in Los Angeles, but hey, why not? I don't know. That's the kind of risk that my late in life risk I'm taking.
Don't listen to any of that. I've seen him perform. He is amazing.
You do. You're very supportive. You come to my shows. Mm-hmm. I wish you were promoting a book or something like that so I can help you out. But
I don't need. I'm support me by supporting your shows. Come see me watch Jason at his next show
and just be like, oh, God,
it's amazing. No, it's amazing.
I
enjoy it.
So, give me three cities you could see that you could really see yourself in the next like 10 years living.
Ooh,
15 years, whatever it is.
Okay. Well, eventually, you've already gotten this one off your list, but eventually I got to live in New York, right? Everyone's got to live in New York.
Sure.
Yeah.
I don't think you have to, but.
Yeah, maybe I shouldn't have put that on air. Yeah.
I love New York. I've always lived outside. I've always commuted into the city.
Yeah.
But I grew up going to the city from the late 70s to, you know, current, I guess, which is interesting. Yeah. It's very interesting.
At 23?
Yeah, I know. I'm only 23 and since the 1870s.
Oh, okay.
I'm a time traveler, P.S. But what are some – so New York is fair.
Okay, so yeah, New York.
I love New York. Don't get me wrong, but yeah.
I would – I have got a very good – my old roommate in Chicago, she is from France and she lives in Paris. And at every single juncture, she's like, you've always got a place to stay in Paris. And I could see myself living in Paris for sure.
Right next to the Eiffel Tower.
Like, I'm assuming...
in the Eiffel... They have apartments in there, right?
Yeah, now, yeah, by this point? Okay. Just in the Eiffel Tower, yeah. Eating at the bistro downstairs, yeah, right. You know, eating at the restaurant at the top.
So give me a third, like, out of the, like... Like, off the...
Yeah.
Off the beaten path type place that maybe you think about living.
There's got to be somewhere outside of Bali. Like, there's got to be some town that's a little less touristy. It will still be extremely touristy. Don't get me wrong. I'm not smart with this stuff. But there's got to be some town.
There's
got to
be
there.
A Chili's there that you
there's
can work
gotta
at.
There's got to be a Chili's that people are like, what's this guy doing here?
Yeah.
Why is he so tall and white?
Yeah.
No, there's just got to be some place where fresh fish is $2. Mm-hmm. And imagine living
Tokyo.
There. Tokyo?
I was there.
Fresh fish is $2?
There's a fish market. Yeah, there's a fish market, like a pretty famous fish market that I went to. It was great. It's tons of fish.
Yeah, I've been there. Yeah, tons of fish. Yeah. I've been there.
You've been to tons of fish? .gov? It's great. Yeah. It's a great place.
It's great.
Awesome. Well, you know what? I hope you move to all those places.
Yes, yeah.
Even if it's – and you're painting, right?
Yeah, painting, yeah. Almost every day, actually.
Painting. Are you going to put them online at any time?
Eventually, yeah. I've already got the website up, but I'm not going
to
tell
anybody. Okay, I'll put it out there when you need to. You're just going to huff those fumes until then.
That's what painting is, right?
Yeah.
Just getting really high?
Yeah, just huffing the huffing the fumes and then
– But you see the colors.
Yeah, that's even better.